Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
International Criminal Court is going after Israel and not Hamas, because why would they ever do something like that? They want to make the statement, does the court, that what Israel is doing in response to the attacks from Hamas is wrong, and that the ICC could actually issue warrants, arrest warrants against Netanyahu and other officials. So the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, says it doesn't matter what the ICC says, it's not going to affect Israel's actions. Under my leadership, Israel will never accept any attempt by the International Criminal Court in The Hague to undermine its basic right to defend itself. That's the statement from Netanyahu. But there's a follow-up to which whether or not the United States is somehow accepting of this. Joe Biden would accept such a thing? As is reported by the Jerusalem Post, where is Joe Biden? Why is he quiet while Israel will potentially be thrown under the bus? Well, Israel should be used to this. Exactly, that's exactly what the UN does. But we have seen now that Joe Biden is not interested in the American hostages. Joe Biden is not interested in the safety and security of democracies. Joe Biden is interested in re-election and has an absolute fear of this radical element that is now mainstreaming itself within the Democratic Party. We'll follow this and see where it goes. And of course, it's Senator John Fetterman who is leading the way in the Senate, saying, I'm with Israel and you're all crazy. You're all just out of your mind. More on that on Tony Katz today at noon. The Pacers with the victory against the Milwaukee Bucks, 126-113. The overtime win on Friday was good. I think this win, as I was saying earlier, demoralizing for the Bucks. You know, the Pacers have had the Bucks number all season. They lose that first game, and clearly they said, "Oh yeah, we can't have this," and they have been on it ever since. I think last night's win. I should have gone to that game. Why didn't I go to that game? I think last night's game is a big one. Game five will be on Tuesday there in Milwaukee. And let it end there. I mean, certainly if they want to game six it in Indy, they're more than welcome to. But game five ending would be all right. For sure. We go inside Indiana business. Gary Dick up next with all the latest. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Quietly last week, Amazon puts $11 billion near South Bend And Google is adding another $2 billion to its center, data center in Fort Wayne. You know that I'm a believer that in order for Indianapolis to do well, these other cities need to do well because Indy needs competition. Meta is putting $800 million plus into a data center in Jeffersonville. So now all of a sudden, Indiana is the data center capital. It's not a bad thing, is it? Gary Dick joins us from InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB. Let's talk about these 1-2-3 deals. You got the $11 billion out of Amazon up north. You're going to have the $2 billion from Google in Fort Wayne. And then you've got almost $1 billion in Jeffersonville. So we're really traversing the state here. Give me the basics on all three of these deals.
Well, it was a big week, to be sure, Tony, last week. And these announcements came one after the other last week. And one that isn't related to data and data centers is Toyota investing $1.5 billion in Princeton to add production down there and 340 jobs. But back on the data center deal, you know, Indiana was not competitive for a long time. And there was a lot of consternation. We saw a big investment from Intel go to Ohio and not to Indiana here a year plus ago or so. And there was a lot of concern about that and talk about that. And it was a few years back that the Indiana legislature made some changes to state law, some incentives that make it more attractive for data centers to look at Indiana for investment like they have in other states, you know, like Virginia. Even Ohio has attracted certainly a lot of investment there. And that those changes to state law have really made a difference. You talked about the big announcements that have been made just within the last couple of months. Most recently, the $11 billion deal from Amazon last week in New Carlisle near South Bend. That's the largest and by far the largest economic development deal in state history, expected to add about 1,000 jobs there. Earlier, and we were there for the announcement in Jeffersonville, where Meta, which is essentially the parent for Facebook and Instagram and some other platforms, putting a big data center in the River Ridge Commerce Center there. And Google, again, these obviously are huge global names in the tech world. Google investing more than $2 billion in Fort Wayne in a data center. And I'm told, you know, there is potentially more investment to come along with these, because the piece that is interesting, too, are the suppliers and the vendors and the like-minded industries that tend to follow and to cluster with these kinds of investment.
One of the things that gets mentioned is, you know, Toyota and this battery plant, right? Another $1.4 billion that's going to Princeton. With how things are turning with electric vehicles, certainly the marketplace has said, look, you can sell them, but that doesn't mean we're going to buy them. You have government force on the idea of electric vehicles. You see states engaged in mandates about not selling anything that has a combustion engine. Does Indiana still look at the growth of these battery plants as a smart future, or do they look at that as a limited opportunity?
I think if you talk to officials with the Indiana Economic Development Corporation and others in state government, I think they see, as other states do, that this is a good approach, a good path forward, if you will. But the things you point out, I think, are valid, and the adoption of electric vehicles. I think most people are in agreement that this is going to happen over time, but perhaps not nearly as quickly as some people would suggest, in part because of the infrastructure that doesn't exist for the electrification of the auto industry. So I think that states like Indiana, and you can you know, point to other states here in the Midwest that are getting some of these big electric vehicle battery investments, are going to continue to pursue them, because the automakers, domestic and global, continue to invest.
Talking to Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB. Okay, let's make it a little personal now, Gary. You have been doing this for a great number of years. You invented Inside Indiana Business. You've seen great success with the website and with the with the television show and then the merging with the IBJ. You know the players. You've seen it all. Let's talk Indianapolis. Ersal Ozdemir, Joe Hogsett, the Indy 11 of Major League Soccer.
Yep.
You know these people. You know these players. You have broken bread with these people. So there is no way that this is not one way or another a conversation that somebody isn't going to text you and say either thank you, Gary, or come on, Gary. Like one way or another, you're going to get this. I'm very happy to put you on the spot at this very, very moment. If you were describing the last 96 hours, if you were describing what it is, the move that Joe Hogsett made, the response that you heard earlier from Ersal Ozdemir, owner of the Indy 11, on this show, and that's up at WIBC.com, and you were describing this to a layman, what the hell is happening?
Great question. I would say a bit of chaos, certainly surprise. Over the weekend, I've been at a couple of events, and that's the question I get asked most, or was asked most over the weekend, is what happened? What is your take on what transpired with Indy 11 Park and the move by the mayor? And the short answer I have is I don't know. It was as this came down on Thursday, Tony, it was interesting because we got an advisory that the mayor is going to have a big announcement about the future of sports in Indianapolis later that day. And then we get word, and my colleague Mickey Shuey at the IBJ, I think, broke the story that the city was pulling its support for the Indy 11 project. And we immediately thought, gosh, is there another deal in the works, which obviously was the case. But there's so many questions surrounding this. At the news conference on Thursday, the mayor gave a statement, but then I was not there, but I don't believe took any questions at all.
None. He took no questions.
Yeah, leaving a lot of people wondering, with a lot of questions. So I think a lot of question marks. Who is this group? Who is this this investor group that apparently has been put together? What does the future? I'm interested too, and I hope my friends at Elanco will give me a call. I'd be interested to hear the reaction from the folks at Elanco, who are making a major investment across White River there from the Indy 11 project, and what they think of this development. So
let me change it around. Maybe let me ask the question this way, right? So you have no inside knowledge on the deal itself,
right?
When you understand the business community in Indianapolis and Central Indiana, when you see that announcement from Mayor Hogsett, is there a concern amongst business owners that maybe this was haphazard or rushed and certainly not done in a way that is standard Indiana, which is plotting, right? Indiana takes its time and they don't rush into things, but when they do it right, right? That's the mantra for so many in Indiana. Did this smack of doing it right?
I think it's too early to tell, but I think, and to your point about the way that in Indiana, and in particular Indianapolis, gets things done, and I think that might give people some confidence that things are headed in the right direction. If you look at so many deals that have gotten done over the years here that didn't look like they would get done, whether it was, Gainbridge Fieldhouse bringing the NCAA to Indianapolis, whatever the case might be, they got done by the players, the key players, the players that needed to get together, getting together and getting things done. So I think there's a hope that is happening, and whatever way this shakes out, that will be the case. But right now, the proverbial many more questions than answers at this point.
Well, I that is Gary Dick right there from InsideIndianaBusiness.com. I would wonder whether there is if you're someone creating deals with the city of Indianapolis and you take a look at this maneuver, how do you feel about creating future deals with the city of Indianapolis? I do question the trust, and I'm happy to have that conversation with you in the future. Yeah. Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com.
Real quick, I think it's going to come out. I think those things are going to begin. They always do. They begin to leak out, and who's involved in what way and those types of things. So I think in the week ahead, maybe a few things that come out, and we can start putting those pieces together.
Let's find out. Let's hope so. Gary Dick, appreciate you taking the time. InsideIndianaBusiness.com.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz and 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Dow futures up 50. NASDAQ futures are up 70. West Texas Intermediate, that's oil, people, is at $83.26 a barrel. Brent crude, $88.74. Both are down right now. The 10-year Treasury note, still over 4.6, which means the 30-year fixed at a national average of 7.31%. Mortgage rates going up. That's where we're at. It was Elon Musk in China, you know, just checking out the scene, also trying to get more Teslas sold. In China, they're up 12% in the pre-market. They want to get full driving available in China. It's an upgrade to Tesla's autopilot driver assistant. And yesterday, for the first time, I had my first run-in with the Cybertruck. Looked inside, checked out the outside. All that money, and you couldn't figure out, Elon, how to not leave fingerprints? On it, that's my takeaway. The fingerprints are freaking everywhere. Also, it's a weird-looking vehicle from the outside. It is super, super weird. The inside actually looks quite beautiful. It is sparse. This is a black interior. I don't know if it even comes in other colors. It is sparse. It is. And that's part of, I think, the allure. But there's size in it. Like, there is room to spread out inside the Cybertruck. The audience for it? People who desperately want to be the people who have a Cybertruck. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. There's an audience for that with many different things. There's people who just want to have it. It's true with watches. It's true with purses. It's true with all sorts of things. I'm not saying no to it. I am saying that you got to want it. It's weird. It is weird to look at. It looks very comfortable on the inside. But the whole fingerprint thing, you're going to spend however many, it's $70,000 in fingerprints? It's like the Lombardi Trophy. I have never understood at all the Lombardi Trophy. You win the Super Bowl, you get the Lombardi Trophy. Here is this thing. It's on the pedestal. It's got the football, and it's the pinnacle of sports. And then somebody puts their hands on it, and it's a ridiculous mess. Does it have to be like chromed out? We couldn't do a matte finish on the thing? The where you hold it, right? On the, like, the pedestal part. Just make it easier. We have technology. We can put a man on the moon. All right, we used to be able to put a man on the moon. We don't do that anymore. We developed OnlyFans. We can't figure out how to have a spot-free technology for the Lombardi Trophy. We are nuts. That's the Lombardi Trophy, the cyber truck. Things that you may want, but honestly, the fingerprints. Doesn't make any sense. Any sense at all. The whole thing is nutty. If you have one, I hope you enjoy it. I really do. Certainly, it seems like fun. It seems like something that one would enjoy. You know? I don't know why I would take the Cybertruck over the Lightning. And that's not just because Andy Moore Ford is a sponsor and Tesla isn't. I would just much rather have the F-150 Lightning over the Tesla Cybertruck. I said it. I was brave enough to do so. Honestly, was that gratuitous for Andy Moore Ford? In Plainfield, AndyMooreFord.com. Was that gratuitous too? Would someone please let me know when I'm getting just a wee bit silly? And I could stop talking about the great deals and pricing over at Andy Moore Ford in Plainfield? Let me... Okay. Happy to help. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
We've already said
protesters want amnesty? Go now. Hold on, drop the music. I don't even know what this means. I thought that was a misprint when I saw someone, I don't know if it was on social, I got an email. The protesters want amnesty? I swear to you, I don't know what any of this means at all. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Of course, we've seen it all across the college campuses, and it's happening outside of college campuses now. And it is violent, and it will get more violent. And these people don't care about Palestinians or Gaza. They care about destruction. We know this. They want to tear it all down. They can say anything they want, but it doesn't matter. We see them. You have two choices in all of this. Believe what you know to be true with your eyes or believe what they tell you. These are your options. You're smarter than this. You know it. Well, this is about Israel's poor treatment of... No, it's not. These are the George Floyd freaks who all just want to protest because everything is terrible and only they know how to make it better. They don't know how to make anything better. They're 20. They don't know how to make anything better. The only thing they can make better is that weird thing your iPhone is doing. After that, they can't. They got to learn how. Somebody had stated to me, when have these college protests throughout history ever been wrong? Wow. That's a theory. You have to be 25 to run for Congress, 30 to run for Senate, and 35 to run for president. But we should trust the 19-year-old who just got to IU and has decided that wearing a keffiyeh makes them special. Good Lord. We are not... Let me ask these people a question. I can't play the audio for this. There's way too much cursing. But on UCLA's campus, this woman shows up and says, I'm Native American. Hamas supporters are not welcome on Native land. That's just great. That is glorious. Way to stand up. Yeah, the Hamas supporting students attacked her. Physically attacked her. So when a 17-year-old kid named Nicholas Sandman says nothing to a Native American banging a drum in his face. Remember that was D.C.? The kid didn't do anything. The kid's terrible. The kid's awful. He smirked. The guy banging the drum in his face is a known agitator, known problem to police, and a jerk face. All they wanted to do was punch Nick Sandman in the face. He's a 17-year-old kid. Here are these Hamas supporters, these people who want to burn down American society, attacking a Native American woman. And you won't hear MSNBC say a word. You can actually believe them or you can believe reality. I would say believe reality. These people are terrible. And what they want to do is burn it all down. But they don't want to pay a price for it. That's where this amnesty thing comes in. So this is the Associated Press with the story. That the students want amnesty, meaning they don't want to be held responsible for their actions. Will they be allowed to take final exams, financial aid, graduation? Well, we already know that USC canceled graduation. Why would you cancel graduation? Well, we can't guarantee everybody's safety. Tell me again about how these people are decent people and how they're peaceful protests. You can't guarantee safety. It's not a peaceful protest. You know how many Tea Party rallies back in the day I organized and attended, spoke at? Yeah, we had a police presence. Well, of course, because the other people were nutty. The ones who would counter-protest. No fights. No anything. People just cleaned up after themselves and went home. These people are not, they're willing to scream and yell, and they want to destroy things. At one college, they took over a dorm. And so what did they do? It's vandalism all down the hallways. They just destroy things everywhere they go. They're not interested in a better society. They're interested in tearing it down. So here you have all these actions, and they don't want to lose out on their scholarship, and they don't want to lose out on this or that. And yet somehow at Columbia, these protesters have demands, and the university's like, well, we have our demands and they have theirs. They're students. They have no demands. This is one of the big misnomers. Well, they have freedom of speech. Sure they do. But they have a code of conduct, and if they want to attend the university, they better act right. The university doesn't owe them anything. It doesn't owe them this. And of course, this should all be put down. If they want to act like this on a street corner, they're more than welcome to. I don't know if you can camp out there, but if you want to hold signs and protest, go right ahead. Go right ahead. No one should stop you. No one should be even thinking of stopping you. But you the idea that you have free speech on a college campus, you could do this. You can believe their insanity or you can believe your eyes. But the fact that they want it with no punishment whatsoever, that's the best part. That's what this is all about. They don't actually want to sacrifice. They won't sacrifice. These professors get arrested at Emory and other places, and they somehow think that, how dare the police? Well, I only hit the officer lightly in the head. That was an actual professor getting arrested. Can you believe what they're doing to me? She was cuffed. They're taking her away. Can you believe what they're doing to me? I just hit the cop lightly in the head. I ask you, how many times do you think you could hit a cop lightly in the head before you got arrested? That's right. Maybe one. Maybe once. No. If the student gets arrested or suspended and that's a violation, expel them from the school. Keep their money. But for the students who are like, you're telling me now I have to go virtual. No. You didn't provide a safe environment. I want my money back. They should get their money back. And for any school thinking of canceling graduation, honestly, I'm going to sleep fine either way. But if you give in to these people, you're nuts. And students should then change where they go to school. Don't go to colleges and universities that give in to these people, these dangerous, awful, bigoted, terrible people.